Welcome to Why Are People Listening to This, a weekly podcast where I, Jake Hanlon, a musician and composer and educator, meets with his good friend, the Zelensky to my Ukraine.
Oh my God.
Justin
That's
Gray.
That's quite an honor. Yeah, I will lead you, Jake.
Yeah, thank you. Somebody's got to.
Yep.
In these troubled times.
That's right.
We'll be looking back on this time and wondering why we were listening to Justin freaking Bieber.
This week of all weeks. How does this represent
the
zeitgeist?
Of World War III.
Yeah. Is this the perfect song? Is this one of the horsemen?
Could be.
Is Justin Bieber one of the horsemen?
Man, the Canadian version of the horsemen.
Yeah. I mean, mostly polite with a neck tattoo. That sounds pretty...
That's fine.
Canadian horsemen-y.
Sure. Anyways, so this week... We're listening to Ghost.
Ghost!
Not just a movie from the 80s with Patrick Swayze and...
Demi Moore.
Demi Moore. Yes. Could remember her first name.
Mm.
But a song by Justin Bieber and probably a whole bunch of other people. I don't really know. I have a lot to say,
as normally.
But there is one thing that we do need to follow up on from last week.
Yes, that's right.
That song, Nicki Minaj's song, plummeted to the 30s.
Okay, so just for those... to recap... Jake and I sat here and predicted that Nicki Minaj's song, which came in strong at number 2 out of nowhere, would plummet in the charts because it was a beef song and nobody gives a crap about beef songs and they have no staying power, we predicted.
That's right.
And guess what?
Boom. Fell. The bottom fell out.
Yeah. We were right.
Yep. We were 100% right. And actually, so funny that Nicki Minaj feat. Lil Baby has another song from that same recording project that is charting higher.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's hilarious.
Which is probably not a beef song.
I don't know. I did not listen.
Oh, God. We're going to have to listen at some point.
Nope, I refuse.
Okay.
Categorically.
But instead, you got Bieber. So she plummeted, and probably Adele is number one still or something.
Bruno.
Okay, Bruno. That makes sense. But then Bieber came in.
Bieber's shown up.
Where's he?
And I think he's like somewhere in the. It's in the top five, I think.
Okay.
When so I looked at it,
strong
but
show.
Like the Kid Laroi thing is still in the top five too. Yeah. So he's actually there twice. So that's kind of interesting. And Justin.
The other
Justin,
one.
You Justin.
I'm older.
And Justin Bieber.
I'm OG.
Is the first person to appear twice on this podcast.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Because he was on the feet.
He was feeted.
With Kid Laroi, yeah. So that's interesting. Another huge accolade.
Oh yes,
for Justin Bieber.
Finally,
because
he
was really hoping that he'd be talked about again on here because we had such great things to say last time.
And this time, I bet we do have great things to say, right, Jake? How do you feel about this song?
There are good things to say about this.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's. Okay. So, what kind of song is this?
I don't know.
I actually don't know how to categorize it. It's not a ballad. It's got a dance beat, but it's not for dancing.
Not the whole time.
Yeah. That drops out for, strangely, the chorus.
Which makes me upset.
And made me happy. Because I'm like, that's ridiculous. I love it.
Yeah. It is kind of comical.
It's so counterintuitive.
I actually think I laughed when it happened. And then when I listened to it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, what is going on? Who did... Now, I'm totally cool with the breaking of convention.
Mm-hmm.
But only the breaking of convention when it's good.
Well, this was so abrupt as to be jarring, right? Because there's whatever it is.
Whoa.
And then the chorus, the rise to the chorus after the pre-chorus, and everything cuts out, and there's just an acoustic guitar that wasn't there before.
That was poorly recorded.
Yeah, it sounded weird. And you're like, what is this? What is this? Did it skip? Did it skip over a section? Did another song start playing?
Am I listening to like a bad version of this? Is this the actual studio version?
I actually thought that. Okay.
That this was maybe like somebody like chopped it up. And then I said, wait, this sounds so strange. I'm just going to... I found my phone and I opened my Apple Music app and I found the song on Apple Music. And no, that is what
That's what's supposed to happen. It is... It's an interesting aesthetic choice, right? Because, like, yes, it's what did you say, describe it as just now? Like, it's subverting the normal structure.
Yeah.
And normally that's when it's interesting, but this just was. It just felt weird.
A lot of songs in popular musical traditions, like of Western popular music tradition, have a breakdown in it. That's been going on for decades.
Sure, but
like,
it's usually not the first chorus.
It's not like it breaks down once and builds back up, and like oftentimes that's like the coolest part of the song.
Yes.
Like it's like, oh man, what's happening? And then it's like comes back in boom,
hard.
Like, and I was trying to think of instances in popular music where this was done, like, as often in this song as it was done. And the only thing that I can really think, compare it to off right now at this moment, and I'm probably don't, like, I don't know, like, not thinking super clearly because it's really cold outside, but is that this happened a lot in 90s Seattle grunge sound stuff. Like, the loud, soft thing that, mm-hmm. like... The Nirvana and you know, Pearl Jam and those bands did a lot. They had like a quiet, soft, like juxtaposition in terms of dynamics.
Yes.
And they did that like pre-chorus, chorus, pre-chorus, chorus, or there'd be a bridge, perhaps, mm-hmm. heaven forbid, a bridge.
Imagine.
And they
Not
would
in
do
this song.
And they would do that to grab the attention of the listener. But this is done so like...
It's the opposite, though. Yeah. It starts busy.
It starts really busy. Mm. And even, like, if you think, like, okay, Smells Like Teen Spirit, I think that most people in our age group, like, can, like, close our eyes and visualize the music video and exactly how that thing goes.
Yeah.
And it's, like, quiet, like, just the electric guitar with, like, kind of a semi-clean sound. And then it's, like, Grohl comes in, Dave Grohl, the great Dave Grohl, just comes in and he's like,
yeah,
I'm all killed, right? Yeah. And then it's, like, this huge, heavy... Big loud guitars, big bombastic drums, and you just like can't help but be like, "Woo!"
Yeah.
You know,
and that was
like
the intro.
So attention grabbing. Yeah. And that was the introduction.
But then
it goes
is quiet,
and then it comes down. The verses are quiet, and then it's always the loud. The lights out, entertainment. You know, like, but like, and that does that throughout the song, like multiple times.
Yeah.
But eventually, it like breaks down, and then it goes into the guitar solo, and it keeps the energy up for the rest of
yeah.
it. Right. That now I'm not trying to compare whoever wrote this song along with Bieber. With, you know, Kurt Cobain, because I think Kurt Cobain was a genius, and I don't think that Justin Bieber is a genius. But again, I'm, you know, it's hard to judge. But they're doing two completely different things with their
yeah.
art, and this sort of like taking the rug out from everybody every single time. Like, I don't really understand. I didn't understand it for the first couple times I listened to the song, and then. This is what happened to me with this song. I was in the parking lot at work.
Okay.
20 minutes ago, just kind of like, because you were like, I got to go pick up my wife. And I was like, I'm going to give him extra time in case or whatever. And I put the song on and I could sing along with the whole song. And
uh-huh.
I maybe had only listened to it three times.
Right.
And the song, the part of it that I thought was actually beautiful and nice, like in terms of a really strong melody, mm. was when the stupid drum and bass breakbeat stuff stopped and it was just the guitar
just,
and him.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really nice. Like the lyrics are stupid,
sure.
but like the singing is not, it's auto-tuned and da 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 da. And I'm not going to like talk about that later. We might be here for an hour. I don't know. But like Justin Bieber has a nice voice.
Sure. Yeah.
I never said he didn't to anybody ever. He has a nice singing voice and he is caught in a trap of convention his mm. whole career of the stupid autotune crap, and it gets in the way of what sounds nice is his pure tenor singing voice. It's really nice.
Yeah, and so that's what the chorus is. It doubles down on his niceness, but then why the accompanying buffer of garbage?
Yeah, I mean,
it's weird.
Plus, I'll go back to what you said there, because I agree 1,000% with you. But, like, the melody is nice.
Yeah. It's 100% catchy.
It's like,
I have no problem with
it. It's very singable. It's right inside whatever key they're in. It's very pentatonic. Like it's very just kind of just like the notes that everybody likes to sing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, this belongs in any. In anywhere. It fits all styles of melodic music.
Yeah.
And so. They're playing on that, and then he's got the lyric that he's singing, which again I think is foolish and terribly written. Sorry, Justin, and your songwriters, but I mean, like, come on, you can come up with better metaphors about missing somebody,
mm-hmm.
like
a bridge that. What was he saying? Like, you went over a bridge I cannot cross.
Follow, hollow, wallow, oh, swallow, crawlow, like hat in the
crawlow.
It's just bad rhyme schemes, but it's like I miss you more than life.
Yeah, I don't
what
know
the
what
that.
I don't know what that
means.
That's just those are just words.
Like those are just words that fit, and he can sing it to the melody. Like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I know what you're
like,
saying.
Maybe I'm wrong. But like, to me, I thought about it in my car. I was like, what in the world does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what he's talking about. I miss you more than life. How can you know what it's like to miss your own life? Are you, unless you're speaking 100% metaphorically, and that person who the ghost of was your whole life, then you're pathetic.
Yeah. I remember once, like, I'm not a good lyricist, right? That's not my forte. But I was giving feedback to a friend of mine who was writing a song, and he had a lot of that kind of stuff. It's just like cheesy stuff that you could crap out.
Super schlocky.
Yeah.
And,
and he wanted my feedback. And I'm like, well, you're not really saying anything, I said. Like, these are just meaningless sentiments. Like, you're not writing from the heart. And he was, like, mortally offended. Because for him, it was coming from the heart. But to me, it sounded just like
schlock. You need to read more books, maybe.
Poetry. I think it's like the sentiment was real. And therefore, like, you don't want to negate that. Yeah. But it's just, it comes out as hacky just because it sounded like everything else, right? Yeah. And this is, like, I love you more than, or I miss you more than life is just a meaningless, hacky phrase.
It's very tropish.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, people were writing that in the 50s when people were slicking their hair back in pomade because they couldn't dance 6 feet apart from each other. Like, songwriting has grown up a lot.
Yeah.
Since the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And that's even when some of the best songs in popular music were ever written out of, you know, the Brill Building and, like, you know, like, oh, man, such trash lyrics. But we don't even usually talk much about lyrics.
We don't. It's interesting.
So let's get off the lyric train because I'm just going to rant about
how. So back to the structure train. So we get verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, chorus. It's the most basic song structure.
So whatever.
And what's interesting, you were saying like it has the, it's busy verse and then that dropout chorus, but it just does it again. So it doesn't even mix it up.
They tag, they do tag the very nice chorus with, I think, with the full band.
Yeah, and they also drop out, like, entirely for, like, a couple lines.
Oh, boy.
But, like, that's just the laziest editing you can do.
That's right. Like, I bet you that Bieber wasn't even in the control room when they made that decision.
I bet he came in and played it on an acoustic guitar and then sang it one time through to a click track. And then they just did he wasn't even in the room for any of the rest
of it. But I would listen to that version of that song.
Sure. I'd take it.
I want to hear an acoustic grand piano and him just doing a solo. That's what I want to hear.
Bieber unplugged.
Like, because they've got, like, the hook of the song, which is the melody of the song, is played on these stupid synths and with no soul.
Yes.
Like, it's obviously, like, dialed in, maybe not even on a MIDI controller, or whoever did it on the MIDI controller doesn't play piano and just, like, hammered the pitches out and then moved them in Pro Tools or Logic or whatever they're using. It's like, oh, that sounds something like the melody. But, like, Bieber sings it and it's, like, got some emoting in it and, like, some inflection and ornamentation. And he does that stuff really well. Like, he's an emotive singer. And he has I can't believe I say it, but he has a very nice voice. Like, I like the sound of his voice. It's very pure, kind of like tenor male vocal, and he's got ears. Like, he sings in tune, even though I don't think it's much auto-tuned. I think it's just given that, like, filter is turned on to T-Pain, that thing, or whatever, like, which I guess is a very dated thing to say now.
I know.
I've known people who knew him when he was younger, like, and they say, like, he sings live very, very well.
When he's singing
and probably not doing calisthenics on stage or whatever his live show happens to be like. Either way, like, this whole coming in with this techno house sort of, like, breakbeat kind of thing with the drum and bass sort of thing works when it's drum and bass, like, playing something busy together.
Yes.
Like, that, I get behind that all day long. Like,
sure.
You know, some funky stuff, or, like, just some technically, like, kind of, like, impressive, like, thing to, like, make you kind of nod your head. But when the bass is just going boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, exactly.
Or, like, quarter notes or eighth notes, like, boom, 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 boom,
just
boom,
following
boom, boom,
the.
And, like, the drum's like, it's not a human drummer.
Yeah,
like,
no,
that's not a human drummer at all. It's a drum machine. And it just feels like, wait, what? Everything is very slow and methodical, except for the drummer's going, like, it's like watching the Muppets. And animals on drums.
Yeah.
And everybody else is chill.
Yeah.
And he's, like, going ape all over the drums.
Yeah.
And, like, this is what this felt like to me. Biebs comes in and he starts singing. It's like, it just captured me right away. I was just like, this is a nice singing voice with all this stupid post-production crap on it, with this dumbass drum beat.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everything goes away, and it's an acoustic guitar that's been squashed and compressed to make no musical sound at all.
Yeah.
And he's singing this nice, polite, pretty melody with a nice musical voice, and this guy banging away on an acoustic guitar, like... And then, like, all of a sudden, and I'm just like, I throw my hands up in the air and just like, I don't know. I, for the first time, don't know why anybody would listen to this song.
Okay.
Other than just like, maybe it's a TikTok thing.
Yeah.
Because that
you take that section out of it.
That's been the answer to all of this stuff. Like,
I didn't know. I don't know the answer. Maybe that's true.
I can understand, like, the, you know, if I can't be next to you, I'd settle for the ghost of you is a nice sentiment.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a weak lyric, but it's a nice sentiment. So I suppose that a lot of people who are into Justin Bieber, who want to be his boyfriend, his girlfriend or boyfriend, are like, oh, I wish I could be his ghost.
Yeah,
the ghost next to him. And like, so, and you get this repeat of the teen sort of like thing that got him famous. But like, the guy is what, 30? I don't know how old he is anymore. Googling right now. Hey Siri, how old is Justin Bieber? Siri doesn't want to tell me.
Justin Bieber is 27 years old.
All right, he's 27. Okay. He is not a teenager. He is a grown man.
He's a grown ass man.
He's got mortgages, car payments. Stop fawning over him.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, Bjork. One of my favorite artists.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about her. I listened to a lot of her stuff when I was younger. And it is busy as F electronic crazy nonsense over her singing, which is indescribable. Like, it's Bjork and no one else sounds like her.
She's pretty categorically unique.
Yeah. Like, hauntingly ethereal and confusing and fun. And it works. It's not annoying.
Yeah.
It's you're either into it or you're not, but you can't, like, at least I think when you listen to it, you're like, well, there's some artistry going on here.
Sure, yeah.
And whereas this is technically the same thing, in that you have busy, weird beats and strange things happening and a nice voice person singing, and you're like, well, this isn't artistry. This is just...
I don't feel like he's reaching for anything artistic.
Yeah. So what is the difference between a Bjork track and this track?
Well, I think it comes to intention, right? I mean... Bjork is an artist and she's trying to make art, and Justin Bieber is an artist according to what his label calls him, but he's a part of the music industry machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is there to generate money.
Okay.
Right? I don't think Bjork ever gave a damn about making money. Like, I'm sure that Bjork cared about, like, having a roof over.
Yeah, you know, but her artistic decisions are definitely artistically based. The
art first. Yeah. It's like when Justin Bieber comes out with some serious, like, art, pop art, like, then I'll be like, hey, man, right
this,
on.
All right. But like, this is not that.
All the way from baby, 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 oh. But you can't crap on him for baby, 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 whatever, uh-huh. Because he was a little boy.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a grown ass man now.
Now he's a grown ass man, and it's time to talk about grown ass stuff, not ghosts.
What do you want to talk about? Like, his goiter?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I've got a sciatica.
Like, he should talk about maybe, like, I don't know. Like, maybe he has. Like,
yeah,
I think that, like, I think that it's well documented that he had, like, a lot of issues in his mid-20s. Well, he's still in his mid-20s or early 20s with, like, fame and getting in trouble and with authorities for starting fights or having, like, overzealous bodyguards and or drugs or whatever it was, and coping with, like, you know, what I like to always call Michael Jackson syndrome, which is that, like, where was your childhood?
Yeah.
You know, because he was on YouTube and then he was baby, 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 oh.
Yeah, mega,
like,
famous.
That doesn't, you don't have, you are not a normal person anymore at that point, psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen it over and over and over again throughout the history of popular music and popular culture, that people collapse underneath that pressure, and it's a totally normal thing. Like, you look at Elvis Presley, and he came out of nowhere because rock and roll, in terms of the white part of America, was dirty and sexy and over-sexualized, and he was everybody thought that he was the devil unless they were under the ages of 30,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they were like, go Elvis, go. And we all know now, in hindsight, that he dealt with drugs and womanizing and
yeah.
did all sorts of crazy stuff, like walk up to the White House and demand to see the president and gave him a gun in the Oval Office and wanted to be made a member of the DEA, which, you know.
That's wacky.
And lots of drugs and lots of women and people just saying yes about anything that
he
wanted.
And like underage girls, that whole Priscilla Presley thing,
yes.
that's a whack-ass story.
She was 14
years old.
Yeah.
Someone said that to me. I'm like, no way. And then I Wikipedia'd him and I'm like, holy shit.
It took a while for them to get married. But yeah. like, yeah, no, there was something there.
It was
but,
weird.
You got to understand, like with Elvis, right? Or the Beatles or Bieber or Michael Jackson or any number of or Stevie Wonder or, you know, these people who are very young when they got famous,
yeah.
like not 25. That's when our brain is fully developed, right? According to psychiatrists, right?
At least on Google, but I don't know.
According to Google.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
so,
if that's a real thing.
Like that level of fame was reserved for like the King of England.
Yeah.
Or like the Tsar of Russia.
Yeah.
And those people were insulated from the rest of society. Because of technology at the time was limited. And now with Elvis, he had the rise of television. With the Beatles, he had the, you know, this Cold War world and satellite. And then Michael Jackson, you had MTV. And
well, so they
he
were
was,
part
of course,
of the
famous
world.
Before then. But like Elvis became famous along with television.
Mm.
So everybody in America had a television set in their house. Come 1960, not everyone, but like, you know, and they'd be like, that's Elvis Presley. We all know who that guy is. Oh, he's performing at the whatever. Let's get tickets. Everybody's screaming along the side of the road. He needs a police escort,
yeah.
right? Justin Bieber opens up a YouTube channel. Usher sees him, says, you're going to be the next big thing. He's like, I'm 12.
is or, that how
I don't know
old
how
was?
Old he was, yeah. but like he was a, you know,
little
barely, barely an adolescent. And then it's just like,
yeah.
He's worth like $250 million. Like, that's not normal.
Yeah. It's
to be that at 27.
So it'd like, be interesting to hear his artistry talk about that as opposed to.
Well, I understand that, like, he went through a lot of really hard stuff and, like, and kind of has come out on the other side of that in a positive way. But since I don't listen to his music,
mm-hmm.
I'm not any kind of authority on, like, if on his last album that he dropped during the pandemic or before the pandemic discusses those things. I would
yeah,
hope that it did because, you know, we live in a new society now where people are far more open about talking about mental health and stuff like that. And him being a young figure that Gen Z's, you know, would have grown up with him being like
on the radio.
Well, that their YouTubes. Version of, as I point to myself, Kurt Cobain.
Sure.
You know, who I idolized when I was a teenager. Like, you know, I think Kurt was a little bit older than me, but I think he would turn 50.
Yeah,
this
he's
year,
my
I think, because it was the 30th year of Nevermind, and I think that he was 20 at the time or something like that.
Yeah. But no, you're right. That's.
So it's. And while, like, I'm not here to, like, I'm not really going to, don't want to get into some sort of big argument or discussion with anybody about fame versus artistry, because you can be incredibly famous and be an amazing artist, and you can be an amazingly famous and being an absolutely crap artist, and you can be an amazing artist and have nobody know who you are.
Like, sure. All of those things are true all the time.
Yeah. And in music, though, like, I just feel like, same with film.
Mm-hmm.
And same with literature, like the art always should come first. Like that's an opinion.
Yes, but like, in this sort of case, not so much because this is boring production and boring lyricism.
I feel like it's lazy. Like
mm-hmm.
the whoever took this from whoever wrote it probably took it to Bieber's home studio maybe or something like that and said, "This I think that you would sound really great on this song," or like, let's mm-hmm. finish this song together with the acoustic guitar. Maybe that's why it stayed in. I don't really know.
That's,
and
this, like
and
that's
then
true.
It got sent off to some guy, and he was just like, oh, I'm just going to put some.
Yeah.
And they thought that maybe that was a great idea.
Yeah.
And obviously, because it's so high on the charts, it was a great idea. But like, from like a let's make some money standpoint. And those choruses and verses kind of would fit nicely in the time span of a TikTok video or an Instagram
reel.
Well,
that's it. Exactly.
So I could see why maybe this is another one of those examples. of a song that
I wonder. A lot of these things are because they have clean breaks between sections, even like, you know, the different parts of a verse, it's easy to chop them.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas like in a, like, you know, think of a Led Zeppelin song, like everything's bleeding into the next section. Like,
sure.
You can't just take it out because then you're like, oh, I have that fucking, that guitar solo is still fading here. It, you know, but it's hard.
Actual musical transitions.
Yes. Whereas in this, it's just like the transition is just boop, immediately. But
it definitely feels boxy.
Boxy. And so that's great for TikTok because you can take a chunk out of any one of these songs and get a 15 second thing that's works without any abrupt gross transition.
And I guess I would not put it past the music industry who are producing and pushing forward as much music as they can, that they're saying, let's produce this intentionally, 100% intentionally, so that it can be shared on social media 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah. And like, We Don't Care About Bruno was not that. It was not made for sharing on TikTok, but they still shared it.
Neither was that Adele song. And, but like, which are still like top five songs on the lists, right?
Yeah.
But like that Bruno song, see, here we go, right? This is the difference, right? That song is about the art of it in terms of how that song fits within the score of a musical.
Yes.
Right?
It's like a Bjork style.
It was never meant to be a pop song.
Yeah. Exactly. They did not intend it to be on the charts at all.
Right. But here we are, right? Mm-hmm. So TikTok has spoken.
And made it that.
And made it that.
But,
or whatever form of social media you would like to burden with that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see, because I'm not on TikTok, and TikTok frightens at me, I don't know the context of this song when it would come to social media, but I definitely wouldn't put it past that. There's tons of young folks out there that love Justin Bieber. It's obvious.
Yeah.
He is a mega, 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 mega star, one of the biggest pop stars, period, that there ever have been.
Yeah.
So anything, it never surprises me when he shows up on something and be like, oh, well, here comes Biebs again.
So then the question is, like the Nicki Minaj song, there's reasons for it to drop. Do you think this has staying power?
Staying power? Yeah, we'll be hearing this song for months.
So it's like the Glass Animals or those other things that we heard. Like, it's just one of these things that will just... Once it's there, it's there, especially if it's TikTok-able.
It's in the culture now, I think. And I don't know if it'll get to number one or anything, but I'll never put anything past Bieber getting number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't heard crap from Bieber until I started, like... Every now and then when I'm bored, I'll start flipping through reels on Instagram, and that Peaches song shows up 5 seconds at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is that Bieber?
I don't know this song.
Something about Peaches, and I'm like, oh, God. But it's like on every fourth reel back like 8 months ago.
Right.
Maybe. So maybe the shelf life of a song like this is 8 months.
Yeah, and maybe this song will be on all of your reels going forward.
And if it does, I'm just signing off. No, just and joking.
But it will be the acoustic chorus that is what people are going to use for sure.
Right? I would hope so, because that's the most tolerable part of the song.
Tolerable.
But also, like, why do people feel the need to tremolo everything? Or like, whoa, 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 that sound at the beginning of the song.
Yeah.
And why do you need to compress the crap out of acoustic guitars? Like, this is a problem with recording studios that I've noticed habitually over the last, my whole life.
They suck all the dynamics out of it.
Why do you compress the crap out of an acoustic guitar? It sounds so bad when you compress it. Like, you always compress a little bit.
Sure. But it's squashed into this.
This is like... Yeah. You know, it's like the guy is like, I don't know if the guy is strumming his butt off, or you've compressed it and then normalized it up so that the dynamic change isn't so drastic.
I mean, that for electronic music of this type, that's what you want, right? Like, so you don't want those dynamics.
You don't want dynamics. Artificially controlled. Dynamics are bad.
Right. And so it's just part of the, it's just part of the landscape for this kind of music.
But, it's so depressing.
Oh, no. Well, geez. What is next week going to bring? I hope something to make you not sad.
I don't know. Maybe the world. The world is... I'm too kind for the world. The world doesn't... This is
world
this
doesn't
is
deserve
the song,
you.
This is not the song that the world needed.
No,
but it's the song that the world got.
I hope that next week, because of everything happening in the world, something meaningful comes up.
You know what I want to be the number one song next week?
Uh-oh.
The Ukrainian national anthem.
Okay. Is that going to happen? I don't know. Maybe.
There might not be a Ukrainian national anthem by next week, yeah. But we can hope.
I'm honestly wondering if something like that will happen. Will the billboard reflect something going on the internet
if
around
this podcast this, goes viral? Yes.
This pie, yeah. I don't know. So let's put this one to bed. We'll play it for everybody. You can make your own decision as to whether or not this is garbage or it's tolerable.
The good thing about it is that it's only 2.5 minutes long, so you don't have to suffer for long.
I know. I tell people, like people who come in and write songs and they're like, their song is like a 3.5 or 4 minute. I'm like, that's not how things work anymore.
No,
I'm like,
cut that
you
back.
Cut that in half, man. Everything's two.
You don't need that ooh, ooh, ooh part. Nobody wants that.
Start immediately. Nobody needs a ramp up into it. Like,
this is not open mic.
No. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, here we go. This is Justin Bieber's Ghost song. And then fingers crossed that next week the Ukrainian national anthem or something else meaningful charts,
yeah,
and that Nicki Minaj is off. Is it what we want?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Jake, thank you.
Take care. Be safe out there.
Be well. See you, everybody.
Thinks there's always tomorrow. I miss your touch on nights when I'm hollow. I know you crossed the bridge that I can't follow. Since the love that you left is all that I get, I want you to know that if I can't be close to you, I'll settle for the ghost of you. There's always tomorrow. I need more time, but time can't be borrowed. I'd leave it all behind if I could follow. For the ghost of you, I miss you more than life. And if you can't be next to me, your memory is ecstasy. I miss you more than life. I miss you more than life.
Why Are People Listening to This is brought to you by the Black Box Collective and Outside the Lines Press. It's produced by me, Jake Hanlon, and my friend, Justin Gregg.
If you enjoyed the show, please give us a rating and maybe a review on the Apple Podcast Store. This is the number one thing you could do to help out the show, strangely enough. And it's simple and it's easy and you can do it right now.